Audio Renaissance presents Knife of Dreams, Book 11 of The Wheel of Time, by Robert Jordan. Read for you by Kate Redding and Michael Kramer.
The sweetness of victory and the bitterness of defeat are like a knife of dreams. From Fog and Steel by Madoc Comadren. Prologue. Embers falling on dry grass. The sun, climbing toward mid-morning, stretched Galad's shadow and those of his three armored companions ahead of them as they trotted their mounts down the road that ran straight through the forest, dense with oak and leatherleaf, pine and sour gum, most showing the red of spring growth. He tried to keep his mind empty, still, but small things kept intruding. The day was silent save for the thud of their horses' hooves. No bird sang on a branch, no squirrel chittered. Too quiet for the time of year, as though the forest held its breath. This had been a major trade route once, long before Amadicia and Terabon came into being, and bits of ancient paving stone sometimes studded the hard-packed surface of yellowish clay. A single farm cart far ahead behind a plodding ox was the only sign of human life now besides themselves. Trade had shifted far north, farms and villages in the region dwindled, and the fabled lost mines of Aelgar remained lost in the tangled mountain ranges that began only a few miles to the south. Dark clouds massing in that direction promised rain by afternoon if their slow advance continued. A red-winged hawk quartered back and forth along the border of the trees, hunting the fringes, as he himself was hunting, but at the heart, not on the fringes. The manor house that the Seanchan had given Eamon Valda came into view, and he drew rein, wishing he had a helmet strap to tighten for excuse. Instead, he had to be content with rebuckling his sword belt, pretending that it had been sitting wrong. There had been no point to wearing armor. If the morning went as he hoped, he would have had to remove breastplate and mail in any case, and if it went badly, armor would have provided little more protection than his white coat. Formerly a deep country lodge of the King of Amadicia, the building was a huge blue-roofed structure studded with red-painted balconies, a wooden palace with wooden spires at the corners atop a stone foundation like a low, steep-sided hill. The outbuildings, stables and barns, workmen's small houses and craftsfolk's workshops all hugged the ground in the wide clearing that surrounded the main house, but they were nearly as resplendent in their blue and red paint. A handful of men and women moved around them, tiny figures yet at this distance, and children were playing under their elders' eyes, an image of normality where nothing was normal. His companions sat their saddles in their burnished helmets and breastplates, watching him without expression. Their mounts stamped impatiently, the animal's morning freshness not yet worn off by the short ride from the camp. "It's understandable if you're having second thoughts, Dumadred," Trom said after a time. "It's a harsh accusation, bitter as gall, but—" "No second thoughts for me," Galad broke in. His intentions had been fixed since yesterday. He was grateful, though. Trom had given him the opening he needed. They had simply appeared as he rode out, falling in with him without a word spoken. There had seemed no place for words then. "But what about you three? You're taking a risk coming here with me. A risk you have no need to take. However the day runs, there will be marks against you. This is my business, and I give you leave to go about yours." Too stiffly said, but he could not find words this morning or loosen his throat. The stocky man shook his head. "The law is the law, and I might as well make use of my new rank." The three golden star-shaped knots of a captain sat beneath the flaring sunburst on the breast of his white cloak. There had been more than a few dead at Jeramel, including no fewer than three of the Lord's captain. They had been fighting the Seanchan then, not allied with them.
"I've done dark things in service to the light," Gaunt-faced Biar said grimly, his deep-set eyes glittering as though at a personal insult. "Dark as moonless midnight. And likely I will again. But some things are too dark to be allowed."
He looked as if he might spit.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?